going to teach you something today that you may not need personally, but you can use to help somebody else, because there's a lot of it going around. And the subject is once saved, always saved, if you don't backslide. Did you know that there is no scripture in the Bible that contradicts another scripture? If you read one thing in the Bible in one verse and it says something, you say, well, that don't sound right. Well, it may not sound right, but you need to go to another scripture in order to get it backed up. And also, you cannot make a doctrine on one scripture. You can't read one scripture and say, oh, okay, that sounds real good. That's what we're going to teach all of our people. You can't do that. You need to look at different scriptures in order to get it all together. Turn over to John 10, starting in verse 25. Now, before we read five scriptures there, when some people read certain scriptures, they see it a different way than other people see it, which is why there's so much confusion amongst denominations, because of the way they interpret it. I remember in a instructor school 12 years ago, they had this portrait. It was a black and white portrait, big old portrait. And they said, what do you see in that portrait? And some people would see a picture of an old lady's face, about that much of a portrait, an old lady's face. And somebody else would say, no, I see a young lady's face in that portrait. And it was kind of a deal, just, I don't know what you'd call it, but there was two faces in that picture. One was a young woman, depending on how the viewer viewed it, and the other one was a picture of an old woman. And it was just kind of weird. And if you saw the old lady, you could not see the young lady in that picture. You could look and look and turn sideways. It was different to the viewer. And that's why some of the scriptures, you can read it, and it's different to the viewer. And this scripture I'm fixing on reading here, obviously is read and viewed differently by different denominations. There's one other sign you may have seen. It's a little card, a little white card that says Jesus on it. But instead of being printed in black ink, it's printed in white ink. You know, it's just like you read your Bible, it's just the opposite of what your brain is used to. And if you look at that card, you might just see a whole bunch of jumbled up letters and stuff and don't know what it is. But once you know that it says Jesus, it just pings right in. It says J-E-S-U-S in white letters with black surroundings. But people, what I've noticed too, is people that aren't saved. I had one of these cards. People that aren't saved could not see the name Jesus in that card. But if you showed it to somebody that was saved, it says Jesus. I don't know if that was a supernatural thing or what it was, but that was really neat. Okay, John 10, starting verse 25, reading through verse 30. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, this is the scriptures that is used, the main scripture that is used by some denominations to say, well, it's right there in red and white that no man can pluck you from my hand. Therefore, you are eternally saved. That's what they believe. I believe got some revelation on this chapter, on these few verses here, and we're going to go over just a little bit at a time. Now, again, this is as we get new people in, and especially we get out there on the base, you're going to have to know how to deal with people, because when they're going to come up and you're going to say, are you saved? And they're going to say, yeah. And I think the next thing you should say is, when did you get saved? Oh, when I was 12 years old. And then you might need to get into this so that you can ensure that they are in fact saved, because there's a lot of churches that the entire congregations are all gone to hell because of what they believe and what they were taught. Now, you believe what you were taught until you find out the truth. That goes on any subject. Verse 26 says, "Ye are not of my sheep." Now, who's he talking about? Who are sheep? We're his sheep. Jesus always refers to us as sheep, and he's a good shepherd. All right? If they are not of his sheep, then they were unbelievers. All right? So they're talking about non-believers here. Now he's talking to the Pharisees, but this 25 through 30 is referring to us, Christians, people who were saved or are saved or think that they're saved, sheep, people who think that they're in the flock. Sheep, as we've heard many times before, are really dumb animals. That's why the shepherd really has to watch them. And when a little one goes flying off by itself over there, sometimes if it's one that keeps on going, we've heard this many times, the shepherds will actually break that sheep's leg so it can't wander off, and then he'll carry it around to keep it from getting out and getting killed or getting in harm. They'll just come to a cliff and just jump right off a cliff if the shepherd's not taking care of them, if they wander off. All right, since we're talking about God's sheep, that's us and others, if we wander away from the shepherd, and we're talking about following Jesus, what's going to happen to us? We're going to get hurt. How do you get hurt? By getting out of the will of God? By doing things that we're not supposed to do? So we want to make sure that we stay in the fold. In Luke 15, verses 3 through 7, is the parable of the lost sheep. It says there's 99 sheep. Jesus is talking, he's saying if one sheep gets lost, who wouldn't go out and search for that one lost sheep? Leave the 99 there and go out and find that one lost sheep. Now, why would the Lord be talking about sinners as far as going out and getting a lost sheep? All right, if you get lost, if one of us was to get lost, the Lord's going to be searching and doing everything he can to find us, to bring us back to the fold. Now, we may not be listening. We might hide under a tree where he can't see us. See, we have that choice. He's going to look for us because he wants us back. But we choose whether we're going to come back or not and how long it's going to take if we ever come back. In Matthew 18, verses 11 through 14, also is the same parable of the 99. And verse 14 says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." One of these. Again, who is these? These is the sheep. We are the sheep. That's not talking about worldly people. He doesn't want any worldly people to perish, but he especially doesn't want any of his sheep to perish. How's his sheep going to perish? We're going to talk about it. Also, since we're sheep, and many times the word talks about goats, separating the sheep from the goats, well, it didn't say that he didn't want one of the goats to perish. So goats is the unsaved people. Sheep is the Christians. Verse 27 says, "They follow me." Unsaved people can't follow Jesus. So therefore, again, it has to be talking about Christians. They follow me. Verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life." Again, the them is us. People that are saved, that are in the flock. "And they shall not perish." They again, the sheep, not worldly people. We're building up here. It's all going to come together in a minute. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Alright, no man can pluck us out of Jesus' hands. No man can. The devil can't neither. But there's some stipulations that are required so that this does not happen, so that we are not plucked, because we can be plucked out. How do you not get plucked out? John 6:47. This is where you can't take just 25 through 30 and say, okay, that's eternal salvation. It looks that way. But you have to go to another scripture. or other scriptures, many scriptures if you have to, but this is just one. John 6:47 says, "He that believeth," E-T-H, that means continually, continually. "He that continually believe on me hath everlasting life." What do you believe in? Do you believe it's okay to regularly go to Bonnie and Clyde's and Max's and other joints? Do you believe that it's okay to just sin regular? Do you believe it's okay to get drunk all the time? To run off at the mouth all the time? Is that what you believe? That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, "He that believeth on me." Now, to believe on Jesus, you have to be following Jesus. And in order to follow Jesus, you are right doing everything you're supposed to, except when we slip up, and we do slip up. We don't have to slip up. Some denominations teach that you must sin. You're supposed to sin every day. If you don't sin, there's something wrong. Well, that's completely against what the Bible says. That's what man says. You do not have to sin. But we do. We try not to, but we do. And as soon as we sin, we just ask for forgiveness. And it's wiped away. Dennis?
A lot of people, they go on this false. It says, "Believe on me." A lot of people say, and they say, "I'm saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe in him. I believe in that." The scripture says that you don't just believe in him. You know, because the word says that the devil believes, but it's believe on him. You know, there is a difference in that. Believing in Jesus, or that there is a Jesus. Believing on him. Continuing believing on Jesus and on the Lord and on Jesus.
That's a good point. Words will get you to believe in Jesus, but the word says that you must believe on him, and that's your Christian walk. And if you're really doing your Christian walk, you're not going to be doing all that other worldly stuff. I don't do any worldly things. Some people do it knowingly. When you go to Bonnie and Clyde's to drink, you are knowingly going there. Alright? If you are in your Christian walk where you're supposed to be, you would not do that. You just wouldn't. It's just a feeling inside of you. If you do it regular, if you do other things, if you're cursing all the time, that's not being what you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. Turn to James chapter 1. Verse 22. James chapter 1, starting verse 22 through 25. This is another requirement in order for you to have eternal salvation. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth this way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." If you go to church every Sunday, and maybe you also go on Wednesdays, and you're hearing the sermons, you're hearing Sunday school, you're hearing teaching, preaching, you're hearing it all, and you just leave the church, and you go back to Bonnie and Clyde's, you go back to cursing, you go back to your drinking or your smoking, or whatever, you heard only. Right here, James 1 says, you also must be a doer. A doer of what? A doer of the word. The word is a mirror. That's what that verse is talking about. It's a mirror. If you look yourself in the mirror in the morning when you shave and you walk away, the Bible says you don't really know what you look like as you was looking in the mirror. But when you are looking into the word and the word is reflecting back the way we're supposed to be living, you know it. And also, if you're not living it, you know it, because you're getting a bad reflection. So you know, God's put it in us that we know when we sin. The third step required, first we got to believe on Jesus. We've got to be doers and hearers. And the other thing that we have to do is we must follow Christ daily. In Luke 9:23, Jesus says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Daily, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays or whatever day you choose. But daily, take up your cross. We're going to have a cross every day. If you sin, the Holy Ghost immediately will let you know that you blew it. So immediately you should say, "Lord, forgive me." And he will. But see, you don't want to go on. You don't want to go a week knowing that you intentionally sinned or even unintentionally sinned. If there's sin in your life, you just want to repent. Now, if you're not living in the Word like we're talking about because you think that you've got eternal salvation, you've got a lot of sins piled up to your credit right now. And that's got to be erased, and it can only be erased by Jesus. Okay, now that covers the scripture on once saved, always saved. Now, why would a person believe that they are eternally secure in the Lord? I like what Jimmy Swaggart says concerning this subject. He was talking to another preacher and who believed in once saved, always saved. He said, "You're telling me that some guy who got saved when he was 12 years old turned out to be a wino, an alcoholic, and a dope addict, and you name it, and he turned in, he's in a gutter, and he dies, that God's going to let him into heaven?" The Bible says sin can't get into heaven. Which is why when you do sin, you should immediately ask for forgiveness. Now the Word don't say how many sins are going to keep you from getting into heaven. It just says sin can't get in there. And being born again Christians, I believe that as soon as you do sin, if I slip up immediately, sometimes you might just lash out somebody with a tongue. Well, that's sinning. And if you catch yourself and you say, "Lord, I'm sorry." But if you don't, it's going to hang on and hang on and hang on. Well, one reason...
Let me interject here that I think it's important because some Christians have asked this before. They say, what happens if you sin just one sin? And you step across the street and that foot hits you. Then what's going to happen? Well, see, the thing about it is this. First, God's not going to let a back foot hit you when you're a Christian. And at times, I sin, at times you sin. God doesn't allow a back foot to hit you 1 minute later. You just face your repentance.
That's
God,
right.
God doesn't take care of you. God loves you. It's when the Christian purposes in his heart and sin more, and the Christian sins more. And pretty soon, that Christian has sinned such an abundance that he's totally backslid. Hey, now I'm back from my healing. You see? But God loves us enough that when we sin, we either correct it or we're going to switch out switches for a while. This is what he's talking about, chastisement. You're in a chastisement. God tolerates a certain amount of foolishness. So God's not going to let you know well, the lightning hit you if you cuss at your wife.
That's right. That's good. That's very good. Now, one other reason that makes people believe once saved, always saved is they do not believe that you can backslide. The word backslider, backsliding, and backslidings appears in the Bible 17 times. Now, if you are a real Christian and you don't believe in backsliding, why is it in the Bible 17 times? I suggest that you read all the scriptures, all 17 of them, in the Bible concerning it, and it might get you to change your viewpoint, your belief. We go on through our Christian walk changing our beliefs. And every time I've changed my belief, I was wrong. I was wrong in my past. There was a time when I did not believe it was the will of God to heal people. When I prayed for people, I said, "Lord, if it be your will." I did that for, I know, 5 years. That's what I thought, because that's what I believed. And that's just what I believed. And I argued with people one time. We were both praying. He wanted me to pray for his daughter. I said, "Okay." And I ended it, "If it be your will." And boy, we argued and argued and argued. And we left. We both left mad. And I was firm and he was firm in our stance. And what changed me was listening to T.L. Osborne. And it is God's will that we be healed. It's right there in black and white. Plain as the nose on your face. It's there. But I saw the old lady instead of the young lady in that portrait. And God chose to change it. And other things I've changed in my Christian walk. And turn to Jude, the book of Jude. Now, we talked about backsliders just in March, but this goes hand in hand with what you need to know for eternal salvation. Yep, that's exactly what I was told by somebody else. So that's the line that's being fed to people, and that's what they believe, which is the purpose of this tape.
I know a guy who was a minister, and he led a lot of people to the Lord, and you know, he got people saved, and he became a kingdom, and he backslid, and you know, the ex-wife. At the time, believed that you couldn't backfire. And she said, well, I just went every little segment. But you can't tell me that some person who loved God for those years and saw people born into the kingdom and ministered the word effectively wouldn't say, mm-hmm. You know, that's it. And they always held on to that. Well, if they'd really gotten saved, you know, if they wouldn't have been backfired.
Now, you understand, now, what comment they wouldn't back them is. They use the same comment I say today. They say, well, if they're really saved, God will chastise their servants. But see, God never takes over your will. He
That's
never
right.
goes against your will. God will try to persuade you to do it his way. But if they don't do it your way, God will never, never force you against your will. That's not the nature of God. When you know the nature of God, everything falls out of love.
That's right.
Even Lucifer. God didn't go against his will. You know, God didn't, he's just, in other words, whatever Satan wants to believe, we let him do it. See, if we choose daily, we choose whether I'm going to serve God daily, we purpose certain things in our heart. And that is the ability. We have that ability.
It's kind of funny that people that believe that will say, just as, well, that's where it's going around, is where they weren't really saved. Well, they say that, but I like to talk to somebody who did backslide and how they felt.
Yeah.
Because that's just, you know, that's just a dumb statement, really. It's like accidents never happen to the other person. But when it happens to you, oh, the shoe's on the other foot. And the same thing with backslide. But all you had to do is just get in the Word. Okay, Jude.
People are backsliding knowing their heart is going to hell and they don't get right with God. And they'll tell you that.
Jude, I'm going to read just 1 through 6. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, of them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now that's just a little deal right there on backsliders. God took them out of Egypt and they backslid. That's a warning to us. He's taken you out of Egypt as a sinner, brought you into the kingdom. You can backslide. There's a warning. What happened to the backsliders in Egypt? They never made it to the promised land. Definition of backslide out of the dictionary. To slide backward in morals or religious enthusiasm. become less virtuous, less pious, etc. Definition for the word slide: to slip or pass gradually into or out of some condition, habit, situation. And definition of let slide: to fail to take care of, neglect. You can do all those things and it makes you backslider. You just slack off reading the word, you slack off praying, you slack off just being a good Christian. And before you know it, you're going to be doing everything that the worldly people do. Now, you might still go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. But if you're still doing, then you're a hearer only. And guess what? You're backslid. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10, I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. That means God wiped out 23,000 people in one day. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let them that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There's another warning about backsliding. You can backslide. God don't want you to backslide, but you can. And the idea is not to backslide. And if you're doing everything that you should be in Christ, being doers and hearers and following Him and taking up your cross daily, you're that much stronger in the Lord to keep you from backsliding. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Okay, Hebrews chapter 3, starting verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocations in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with the generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned? Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. If you're not following the Lord, you're going to get into sin. If you get into sin, you're going to get into unbelief. If you get into unbelief, you're not going to get into heaven. Hebrews 10:26. Hebrews 10:26 through 31. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Another warning there. God's going to deal with it. God will deal with you if you backslide, which you can backslide if you're in sin. Romans 11 talks about the Jews rejecting Jesus. Okay, so he says what happened is he took the Jews and he grafted in, talking about the fig tree, which represents the Jewish nation. He took the Gentiles and grafted the Gentiles into the fig tree. Alright, and then in chapter 11, it talks about how God cut the Jews off because they believed not. And in verse 11:22, and I quote this a lot to people who think that they can't backslide, 11:22 says that if you do not stay in God's goodness, God said, I will cut you off. Now, how's he going to cut you off? You're not getting to heaven if you don't repent. But in verse 23, Romans 11:23, it says that he'll take you right back and regraft you in. Now, why would God tell you that he'd take you back if you couldn't backslide? Why would he say that he'll cut you off if you can't backslide? Now, if you don't think you're going to backslide, or you don't think that you are backslidden, or that you can backslide again, you read Romans 11:22 and believe what God says. I'll cut you off. Okay, to wrap it up, do you want to be eternally secure? Of course we do. If you're listening to this tape and you want to be eternally secure and you think you are, just go over all these scriptures. But again, the three things that you must do, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just knowing about Jesus. You've got to hear the Word and do the Word. Not just go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and just listen to it. And just go about your worldly business the rest of the time as many, many Christians do. And the last thing, you've got to take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. You do those three things and you will be eternally secure. They're conditioned. And that's the three conditions. That's the three conditions that get you there. That's all I got. Love y'all.